Afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I know it's fresh after lunch, so everyone's getting ready to enter their food coma. Hopefully, we'll keep the content lively enough, depending on you two, to keep everyone awake. And I don't think that'll be a problem given the topic. We're talking a number of different use cases in this particular showcase, and I'm really excited to present Victor Soares from the Jive Professional Services team and also William Minton from, or how do you? Minton from Sling Media. Thanks very much.
Gentlemen. Hello. I'm William Minton. I'm from Sling Media. This is Victor. Today we're going to talk about our implementation of Jive at for Sling on our slingbox.com website. And kind of the decision process we went through, we're going to talk about the problem, the initial problem that we were trying to solve, and the decision to go with Jive, and then how we went about implementing to solve those three issues with this one implementation, one instance. The agenda, introductions, define who we are, then we're going to define the problem, exactly what the issue was that we were trying to fix, kind of what the solution was that we came up with, and then the experience of working with Jive Professional Services to get us, get to resolve those issues and to get us up and running quickly, and kind of the overall results of that, and then future plans and kind of a quick Q&A. One thing, though, I'm much more comfortable with interaction, so if you have a question, don't wait for the Q&A, just anyway. My name is William Minton. I have been at Sling Media since 2006. Anyone familiar with Sling Media, Slingbox? Right on. So I've been there since 2006. I'm responsible for basically all post-sales customer contacts, beta management, all documentation. We're a pretty small team, and so wear a lot of hats. Been there since 2006.
I'm Victor Soares. I'm what we call functional lead, which means project manager in most places. I've been at Jive for about 2.5 years now. But I'd like to know a little bit more about the audience we have here today. Who's here to talk or to listen to us talk about the Salesforce integration? And who's interested about SSOs?
Same people.
And who's like, who wants to get technical and who wants to just kind of cover the functional layer?
Half and half.
Half and half?
SSO, like, questions about how we do SSOs, anything like that?
Okay, so please, as we talk about the different integration points and different things that we did, just ask your questions in context. So, definitely help us.
Can you turn on the mics?
Mine's on.
Hello?
Oh. Is yours not on?
So, like I said in the little commercial session we did yesterday, I'm not a professional public speaker, so forgive me if I talk fast. You guys can go like, whoa, if I'm talking too fast. Anyway, so Sling Media, those of you who don't know who we are, we make the Sling Box. So, is that too loud now? We make the Sling Box, which is a box that you hook up to your television, and it essentially encodes that analog video signal and pumps it out over the internet to you on your phone, on your computer. You have full control of your TV as if you're sitting in front of it. Amazing. It's just an amazingly simple product that has just an extremely complex, it sits in the middle of an extremely complex ecosystem, right? You have firewalls, you have, home routers, you have, dynamic IP addresses, you have all these things that can cause issues for customers after they set them up or during the setup process. So, and then on top of it, we also have a growing OEM business where we are, it's called Sling Loaded, where we're actually integrating the Slingbox product into set-top boxes and things like that. Dish Network just recently launched the VIP 922 set-top box, which actually has a Slingbox built inside of it. So you just get Dish, you plug it in, and you immediately can watch your TV on your phone, on your computer, anywhere. So,
How come it's not?
What'd you mess up?
Victor did it. We're having technical problems.
It's on a PC, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Hey, okay. So the first step was to define the problem, right? So I don't know if you guys have this problem, but we were when we first started, we did not have a public forum that we could put our name on because of the nature of our product. We didn't know how it was the first of its kind. We, you know, invented a whole, you know, a whole kind of product line. To this day, it's kind of weird. You go into a Best Buy, and is the product with the TVs? Is it with the networking equipment? Like, where does it go? It's like that's still kind of, you know, hasn't settled down completely. But because people can, you know, like if you have a Slingbox, you could share that information with me, and I could access your Slingbox and watch the baseball game, and then, you know, Major League Baseball gets mad. So that's why we didn't have a forum at first. We didn't know how people would react. And what happened was, though, is we started enforcing our support warranties, which we never did before, and we needed a free place for customers to go to get help. You know, if they didn't want to pay, we needed some place for users to help users. And plus, we had a great user base. You know, extremely technical. You know, our early adopters are amazing. And they were participating in this third-party forum that we paid for. We paid for, but our name wasn't on it, called slingcommunity.com. And they participate there, but there was no control. Someone say something? Not really. Just the voices in my head. So we paid for this third party to run this community, but we didn't have any control, no access to the data. We didn't know what was going on. So that was the initial problem. My boss said, go build a forum. I said, okay. And he said, but we also have this growing OEM business. We need to build a partner portal for our customers, for our OEM customers, that we can interact with directly, so they could escalate bugs to us directly to our support engineering team. And then we also had a third tool that we were paying for that was for managing our private betas. That was just another cost. It wasn't integrated with any systems, so it was just kind of like this silo out there. If they had bugs, then the beta manager would have to, like, literally, like, you know, have one window open with that community and then another window open with Jira and type the bug, you know. And it was not a good situation. So I needed to find a tool that could basically solve all three of these problems in one. So basically the forums were a third party, no message control, no data. I already went through all this. No systems integration. Yeah, limited reporting. So, we needed to provide, you know, user-to-user support, a free support. And another thing that we were missing because we didn't have a forum was really a documentation gap analysis. Like, we didn't know what was working, what wasn't working. We could get some information from call data, but really not, I had to rely on, you know, our tier one support team in Costa Rica who didn't take notes very well and didn't always categorize things very well. And it was really difficult to really understand what was working and what wasn't working. So then the partner support needed to be a secure space for these OEM partners, and it had to be scalable and easy to manage. And then the beta programs, again, secure. We had to be able to get profiles of people, be able to quickly, you know, invite them to private betas and, you know, give them access to software and things like this. And all three of these items needed to meet these requirements, needed to be extremely scalable, need to have a simple login with our Sling accounts, because if you have a Slingbox, you have this one ID, and that should be your key to everything Sling. We need to ultimately reduce the number of tools that our agents, our customers, and, you know, our beta part, everyone was using, you know. And a really important thing was that I didn't want another place for reporting. right? We already got all of our chat information in Salesforce. We have all our call information in Salesforce. I wanted to be able to report on all customer contacts in one place. And so I wanted to be, everything had to be tied with Salesforce. And most important, I really needed professional services help because it's pretty much just me. So when it comes to this type of stuff. So our solution was Jive. Obviously, that's why we're here. It was the only one that I found that really could meet these meet the requirements I had, and also out of the box didn't look really bad. We needed a hosted solution because literally my boss told me you need this up in 2 months, and so I was like, oh, okay. It was feature-rich right out of the box. And the in-house professional services that we were able to get through Victor were great. So, and that's what I was really looking for. So, when it comes down to it, there were very specific things we needed help from the professional services team. One was kind of the basic theming, which I don't have on this list, but then the integration with our Sling Accounts SSO, Salesforce integration, and then I'm sure that all of you that are customers, you probably use the Supportal at the Jive. When I looked at that, I was like, oh wow, that's exactly what I want for my OEM partners, right? And so essentially, that's what I asked for. I said, do that. Because, I wanted to capture all that metadata. Is it urgent? Is it all this stuff? Because, that was how we could determine SLAs, how we could, route issues to the right groups, et cetera, et cetera. So.
All right. So the first problem we looked at was my microphone falling off. Was the SSO. So when William came up to me and said, yeah, we have a cookie-based SSO, I was like, oh no, cookie-based SSOs are the worst. It's there's so much variation because most of the cookie-based SSOs are built in-house, so everybody has a different approach. Some people encrypt the cookies, and then we have to make a callback to a system. Other companies have all the data inside the cookie, and you decrypt it, and you pull information out that way. But why was it successful? We actually did this in less time than we had estimated. And what made it work was Sling had already done integrations with other web properties using the SSO solution. So it was a vetted solution that other third-party people had written an SSO against. So this saved, the inevitable sort of communication with IT about this isn't working, and the IT organization saying, well, we don't think it's a bug on our side. Can you check on your side? So we didn't have any of that wheel spinning. It was super well documented too. Sling gave us a graph or a diagram of all the systems involved. And the REST API, so we could make the appropriate callbacks.
Yeah, and one of the things that Victor did for me at this point also is within Sling Accounts, grabbing profile information and populating it within Jive. Because within our Sling account, he was able to grab things like what Sling boxes do you own, and be able to populate that into your profile in Jive, so that in turn, it was that stuff was already set up as soon as you logged in. So,
so you're asking if it was a one-time load of profile information and user information? No, it was actually two REST calls. We make one to validate the cookie. We make another one to grab the user information, so kind of your basic stuff like first name, last name, and then we make a third call to grab all the products, parse the products, and associate them with the user and the user profile. So the second big piece we tackled was the Salesforce integration. So there's basically three components to the Salesforce integration. You're targeting three different use cases, right? You're targeting the partner use case, the beta use case, and the kind of the consumer use case. For the consumer use case, you want to keep it as simple as possible, right? You don't want them to like pick priorities, but when you're dealing with partners, you want to allow your partner to pick priority, provide more information, like what environment the software is running in. So depending on what use case, you want to show different things and allow different options. For case creation, the partner or beta user can pick like what environment the software is running in, what language it applies to, what locale, and that does sends the discussion or case to Salesforce when it's created, and the status of the case can be managed within Salesforce and updated in Jive.
So this is kind of how our systems were set up before Jive. It was kind of a nightmare, right? So we had CenterCode, which was our beta management, you know, and then if there was any bugs, they had to be manually written and put into Jira, right? We had our content management system that hosted our website, right? And it has our public site and our internal support site. And then we also had an OEM partner portal that was like basically made out of chicken wire and duct tape, and that had kind of this wonky window into Salesforce that was really, really horrible. We had the Slink community, which was third party, and we had no visibility into anything that happened there. And then we had the stuff going into Salesforce, which was like kind of what the agents were doing, and then also LogMeIn, which is our chat and remote control tool that we use, and then the store. Basically, by moving to Jive, we were able to amazingly simplify this, right? So pretty much we left the content management system to do what it does best, which is, you know, manage content as far as like the static, you know, kind of knowledge base and things like that. Yeah?
What content management system?
What was it?
What
content management system? It's EM3 Ion. It's an older content management system, but it works for us. Would I, you know, ultimately like to move to something better? Yes, but it works. So anyway, but it's still doing what it does best, and you know, managing that stuff. Then we have Jive, which is, you know, it's hosted, and we have the forum, we have the partner portal, and we have the beta management. Then all that gets poured into Salesforce. We still have the agent Salesforce view and the log me in into Salesforce. And then we basically applied a plugin to our Salesforce instance so that anything that is in Salesforce, any case, could be then promoted as a bug in Jira. So at this point, any customer contact, if it turns out to be a bug, will go up the chain and end up as a bug, and then back down, the notification will go back down to fix things. So kind of controlled the ecosystem, made it so there's a breadcrumb from point A all the way to Z, right? So, and gave a lot of visibility into everything we were doing. So the forum. We launched April 13th. We did it in phases, so basically the public, since that was the simplest, that's what we went live with first. There were a lot of active users of Slink community, and basically when this went live, Slink community went down, so it started redirecting here. So we actually immediately got a lot of hits, you know, and the public forum has grown much faster than I expected, to the point where I've already been renegotiating our page views contract because we've basically for the last 3 months we've been exceeding it by almost double, so which is great. That's awesome, and you know, the public forum is a user forum. We enforce that with you know, basically our moderators are mainly police. They don't actually really interact. We encourage people to, you know, users with tchotchkes and things to get them to help other users. We have some superstars, you know, and we have a secret group that they all can talk to each other with. And yeah, so
did you have a question?
So how many moderators do we have? So our call center, it's run out of our call center in Costa Rica. There's probably, I would say, like 1.5 to 2 FTE. They don't, it's spread out probably across like 4 or 5 people. But yeah, they don't spend a whole lot of time. And they keep it pretty clean. You know, it's I have one person located actually in Sacramento that is kind of my forum overlord that kind of manages them and makes sure that they do what they're supposed to. you know, and so, yeah. Anyway, the front page. One thing I was worried about, so with our, and you'll see more of this in a bit, but with our Salesforce integration for the public forums, it was all, you know, it's all based on communities, right? So these, so a specific community will have a specific metadata associated with it so that it can be filed away in Salesforce in the correct way, right? So it'll have an affected product, Slingbox Pro, Sling Player Mobile for iPhone, you know, some affected product and then some issue so that we could then turn around and compare, you know, forum contacts to phone contacts to chat contacts from, you know, looking at apples to apples. But that got so deep that I wanted people to be able to get to the point where they can ask a question, you know, within 2 clicks. So that's pretty much what we did. So it's just a HTML widget on the front page, takes you to a page that allows you to select your issue and you're there. So even though we have some, I guess, you know, 15 products shown on the front page, it's still just 2 clicks to get to where you need to be. So, one of the things that Victor also did for us as kind of like, and that's one thing that I'd like to mention. I'll probably talk about it again, but our initial scoping with Jive on the professional services was to actually do just straight Jira integration, that and no Salesforce. At the last minute, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. No, I changed my mind, you know, just before he was starting to do work. And
that was awesome.
Yeah, didn't you love that? Yeah. So, you know, and I just have to say, they're incredibly flexible. Like, they
don't
tell
them that.
They totally put up, they put up with my, my BS.
Yeah.
No, that was great because that original plan was a bad idea. And this was a much better way to go about it. But one of the things he threw in there was, essentially, I didn't like that if you weren't logged in and you were just kind of browsing around, like if you were at a discussion, there would just be no reply link, you know. It's like, how come I can't reply, you know? It's like, it's not obvious that you're not logged in, except for there's, you know, this little text way at the top right. So I had him put this persistent, just little, you know, reminder that you're not logged in. It goes with you wherever you are on the site. It's really helpful. So anyway, this is, I'll let Victor talk to this, but this, yeah.
So this is, this is the configuration page for the Salesforce plugin that we wrote. You can define your connection strings here and the number of connections that should be maintained in the pool for making all the API calls into Salesforce. You can define your connection timeouts and some other additional settings there. All this is in the Jive admin console, and that's how you define all your global connection settings for Salesforce.
Is that part of the product, or is that something you wrote custom for this?
This is custom, yeah. So all of the Salesforce integration that we're talking about today and the SSO is all custom work that resulted from the engagement with Jive PS. So this page here is the global properties configuration. So going back to the three types of use cases with the public, community, people asking questions, beta, and partner. There is some common thread between all of them. So everybody has the same feedback options and priority options across the board for the beta and partner. For the public type cases, you define the default origin, which is a field in Salesforce that helps route some of the workflow.
Yeah.
And the case type is a forum case.
Yeah, so that's basically when we report, right? We see we have a chat origin, we have phone origin, we have beta, partner, and forum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the way we have it set up is each new thread creates a new case in Salesforce under the name of the person who started the thread, and what gets sent to Salesforce is that affected product, the affected product and the issue. So again, we can turn around and report on all that. Once that thread is, we have everything set to default as questions. So once that is marked as answered, Salesforce gets updated again with this has been answered and who answered it. So it allows us to kind of keep track and be able to report on the, from within Salesforce, kind of like our superheroes. So when they contact us, call us, our agents are able to, know who they are, know that they actually do something for us. So,
One thing I want to point out here is if a user registers in Jive, a Salesforce account for that or a contact record isn't created for that person until they create a case or answer a question. At that point, we query for the contact ID. If we don't find that contact in Salesforce by email address, we'll create the contact in Salesforce and then associate the case or the question answer to that person.
Yeah. So
the contact record.
Yeah. So
how do you check whether is supposed to get an answer on the entitlement side?
Sorry.
The person who's asking question. Is he the customer? Is he supposed to ask that question, and hence you have to answer to that?
So the way that our public forum is set up is it is a user-to-user forum. We do moderate. So kind of the and I'm not sure if I have a slide for this. I think I do, but I'll go ahead and say it now. Basically, one of the things that this integration allows us to do is to give my moderators a cue, because what I've told them is, okay, well, after a certain number of days, and that has fluctuated with time, if we have a system outage or maintenance, I'll tighten it up, but if we're just kind of chugging along, we'll stretch it out. But there's a certain amount of time that if something is not answered, marked as answered, that they will go in and provide a link to a knowledge base article that does address the issue. We're able to build, because of this integration, we're able to build queues for the agents to work from within Salesforce, just like they do with their email queue or anything else. So it's their same workflow. We didn't have to retrain on anything. And, they could just go look at their queue, act on it as needed, and do it. Look at it. Hey, there's no documentation for this. Just work within our normal workflow within Salesforce to request documentation. When that documentation comes, they can just post it in the forum. So, so it's not eligibility, support eligibility on the forum. It's a public forum. It's user to user, And we will help, like I say, if we have documentation. If they're asking a question that we don't feel like answering, we just won't answer it. So.
Yeah, the person has bought the Slingbox or not. You can ask the question. And
yeah. Absolutely. Yes?
I assume when the discussion thread is marked as answered, what you mean is in Salesforce the case closed automatically?
Yes. Well, it's actually marked as answered.
Marked as closed. And then, so in a sense, the help desk wouldn't even need to really go see the case if the whole interaction's going on.
It won't show up in their queue.
But you're able to report on all interactions.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, and we're able to report on time to answer and things like that. We've noticed that not a lot of people go back and say, that answered my question, right? And
right.
so...
we're trying to think of strategies on how to like kind of ping people. You know, be like, hey, did anyone answer that for you? And we'll probably do that with just emails. Again, the same kind of like CSAT type emails that we send from Salesforce. We'll just apply those same workflows because all this information is already there. It can just all go into the same flows. Yeah.
What kind of percentage of those answers are coming from your users versus your call center?
The agents actually, I say we answer maybe 10%, 5%. We have probably 4 super users that literally answer every single question that people post. I don't know what they do for a living, but they're great. Yeah, and you know, we've only been around since April, and they already have several thousand posts. You know, I'm just like, man, right on. You know, here's another T-shirt. Yeah, and they love it. So you know, right on. And so we don't really have to get that involved. A lot of times we will, you know, one of those people that are our superstars will, you know, ask us directly, hey, what's going on here? And, you know, and we'll kind of give them an answer, and then they'll reiterate it in their own words. And then if it's something that we don't necessarily want to take a public position on, we just don't. So
are there other avenues in your call center then? Like if people have a box with a warranty?
Absolutely. So the Slingbox comes with 90 days of free technical support, so they can call up or chat us up if they have a problem. And a year hardware warranty. So if they call us up, you know, outside of that 90 days, you know, they can pay to talk to us. And if it's a hardware problem, we refund the money and they get their issue taken care of. Or if it turned out to be a user technical support normal issue that they were able to resolve, then, you know, that just cost them $29. But and really that's why we needed this forum was for those that you know, especially those that have a Slingbox that is older, and, you know, and they can't. We also sell an extended warranty, so you can have 3 years of phone support, right? So, but if people don't want to buy that, or if it's an older box, they have the forum, and we actually ended up killing our email support once the forum went live because the forum was just more effective, right? We had email before that, and it just didn't. It was so many back and forth, and there was such a delay that people would end up calling, you know, and then they'd be answering the email, but they already got an answer from the phone call, and, you know, it just really didn't, it wasn't effective. Yeah?
I had a question more for Victor, I think.
Okay.
I understand that the way that the implementation was done here, that Salesforce is basically getting data dumped into it from the call records, and in the cases, those are getting updated, right? The data's flowing in that direction. Can you build widgets within your Jive instance where you can actually pull like maybe dashboard information to where partners, OEM, managers can log in and see a dashboard view of the cases and the data is in Jive in the portal?
So you're asking can we pull other data other than writing cases to Salesforce? Can we pull other data and display stats or?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. That's.
Oh. So we can actually show you
totally
what we
Google.
Did. So this is the page, like, within the community. You go to the Salesforce integration. You fill out that metadata we were talking about. Select it's a public forum community, and you give what it is. So then everything in that community will get updated or will get created in Salesforce with that information. So what we did, and I'll show you, it's actually later on. I can't remember how far down it is. To answer your question, you know, when a moderator goes to one of these forums, you know, one of these public threads, the top of it is a link that they click on it. It opens up Salesforce in a new window to that case, right? So, and then, you know, like Victor was saying, if you change the status in, you know, Salesforce goes that way, change it here, it goes back that way, right? So, yeah. So, does that answer the question?
Yeah. Just one other question. So, what about as far as profiles?
In Salesforce, we're only saving first name, last name, and email address. All the profile data is coming from the Sling SSO.
Yeah, so basically for Salesforce and for Jive, they just have kind of a skeleton of our people. All the information is coming from Sling accounts. They're both tied into Sling accounts.
We store once we create the contact in Salesforce, we store the contact ID as an extended property of the user object, and that's how we make the association from that point forward.
So I think I touched on a lot of these things. The big wins, one workflow for the agents, no matter how the contact, was how they came in. All queues they used are consistent. Documentation request processes are identical for all contact types. Someone calls, the agent doesn't know. There's no documentation on this. It's the exact same flow as if there's a forum question. There's no documentation on this. And so because of this, we've been able to increase our relevant, documentation creation, right? Before most of the documentation that was being created was kind of like, let's look at this kind of general call data. We're getting lots of calls on, internet viewing, which is, when you're watching your Sling box, when you're far away from home. And so let's try and drill down on kind of what people are asking. And, instead of that, we're getting these very concrete, this issue is not in the knowledge base. We need a solution for it, right? So that was really helpful. So. Did you screw it up again?
I probably did.
Yeah, you did. How'd you fix it? Stop cheating. Okay. So this is the link to Salesforce. I don't know if you left it. Anyway, that's the link to Salesforce within there if you're a moderator. And then this is the the case in Salesforce that was created from that. So. And again, there's the URL so agents can go back and forth.
What gets into the case?
What was that?
Where it gets all the...
No, just the initial conversation. I didn't really want, we have some threads, especially we'll have an outage, right? And we'll have a thread with 800 replies. It's just I don't want that. Don't need it. And also I wanted to, we try to encourage. And part of the policing that our moderators do is, we really want to encourage, ask a different question. If that isn't your question, don't just say mine's like that. But if it is, we usually rip it off into a new thread, because it's we want them to be, question answer as much as possible. Oh, and another thing that it captures here is if the answer came from a moderator. So we can tell if how many the moderators are answering. Oh, you were out. There's that Salesforce link. So. Anyway, our partner portals. So, again. What was that?
Yes.
Sure.
How did you push the data from Jive to use REST protocol to move your data from Jive to Salesforce, or was it... underlying Salesforce API that you used?
SOAP.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so the normal Salesforce, using the WSDL and all that stuff?
Yep.
Yeah. So with our partner portals, I wanted to make it like this portal. Each new case created in the portal communities, need to be a case in Salesforce. Had to have a lot of metadata though, right? Because not only do we provide products, but we provide services for everything we make. You don't just buy a Sling box, or you just don't buy our OEM'd, kind of Sling box inside kind of thing. In order to support that on its own doesn't do anything. It needs our back end system. So if we're, if there's an outage, I want our OEM partners to be able to use this tool to report it and for that information to get to my IT department, not to me, right? I'm not on a pager. They are. So that's, by adding the appropriate metadata, we could, set off workflows in Salesforce that in turn would page people and get them involved and things like that. And the way it was, we're adding partners quickly, right? And so I just needed to be able to just set them up like that, and which has been, you know, been really nice. So, you know, this is kind of the partner portal. If you are Dish, when you go to the partner portal, this is what you see, right? And you see all your products down there, and you're able to create cases and that will go to us and communicate back and forth. You know, by making it a series of nested communities, you know, I'm able to have this front page that's for everybody where I can manage, you know, just, you know, using blogs and things to tell people, hey, we're having this maintenance, you know, during this period and things like that to communicate with the every partner, you know, and then just drill down to communicate with people directly. So that's been really, really helpful and, yeah, really effective.
Yes. This is a configuration page for a partner Salesforce integration type. So you see, when we were in the public case type, public case type, there was only a couple fields where you could specify the product name and another field. But here, you get the localization options, the environment options, category, affected product. The origin can be, you know, your partner company, and the case type is partner.
Yeah. So, you know, basically these translate into just the drop downs, right? Which is just really, really handy for the people that are reporting the issue. And that's what it looks like, you know, when they go to report it. So it's very similar to when you're reporting something at the supportal, right? So. Some of this information is here, and some of the items are global. So like the feedback type, that's a global property, so that's set somewhere else. So beta management is still a work in progress. Oh, it's your question.
So the partner portal, So do partners interact with each other?
We have not encouraged that as of yet. So, you know, definitely, you know, the way it's set up, that is very possible, right? Because there's kind of like this top layer where everyone's involved. Then everyone can just kind of drill down. I'm getting resistance from my kind of traditional support engineering team that actually is responding to these things. They want silos between them, you know, because they don't want, you know, an issue that Dish is having to affect Bell's perception of how they're interacting with them, kind of a thing. So
they're more kind of like for each individual part of the portal.
Yeah, absolutely. So, at this point, that's kind of how we have it set up. So, yeah. Beta is similar to the partner stuff, right? It's still a work in progress. Still trying to figure out the last little bits. But it's similar in that, you know, if there's an issue that a beta tester is running into, we want them to be able to report it and give us specific information so that we can in turn quickly get it into our bug tracking system so that it can be a part of the development cycle, right? So that they're, we need to get them to give us very specific information, you know, so hence all the metadata information. Basically kind of mirroring what's in our JIRA bug reporting. The only thing that's kind of holding us back right now is kind of finding ways to kind of farm people out and finding people with certain products and things like that. And but actually, I talked to someone today, and I think I have that solved. So it may be live sooner than this.
Cool.
So it's really similar to the beta or to the partner community. So there's an overarching community, and then with each individual product beneath that. So, you know, the concept is that, you know, we'll have a pool of people that has access to this via security group, and they will be invited most likely through a social group, and then that social group, when they click join, will add them to a security group, which will give them access to this. So. Because we needed that kind of active participation where they say, yes, I want to be a part of this. You know, all of our Salesforce integration is at the community level, not at the social group level. So, anyway.
same type of thing. It's just
a little bit less information than the partner stuff, but it's the same type of thing.
Yeah, almost exactly the same. So now what's left to do is, I need to find a way to simplify the navigation from security groups and things like that. And like I say, I think I got an answer today, so I'm really happy about that. So actually I think I solved all these problems today, so. Yay! I really can't say enough about working with Victor and the rest of the team. They've been really, really helpful throughout the quick turnaround, the flexibility, regular updates. It was really, really, did a really good job. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So I need to finish the beta implementation. So we actually are in the process of purchasing the ideation module. Does anyone have that? Yeah? Like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So because we have basically, the Slingbox needs to control your set-top box. So we have to have the profile of whatever remote controls that set-top box in our software. That's like herding cats, There's new set-top boxes every day, And so we need to find a way to be able to kind of figure out which ones are the most important, right? And we kept on running into issues with, the Pace 3920, is the same thing as the Thompson 5830, and just things like that, someone will, we had a form for people to fill out, and they'd be like, okay, I have a Comcast, 2130, but it's actually the actual set-top box isn't, Comcast doesn't make set-top boxes, so then we just don't know what's what. So basically what we want to use the ideation for is so that, people can put in their, hey, I want this remote, and let other people vote on it, instead of having 15 people call the same thing, spell the same thing differently, and so I can't find it, it's just going to be in one place with a bunch of votes. So I'm hoping that'll work.
The one piece of advice I give on ideation is make sure you have, technically it's easy, but the process behind the scenes on how you respond to people and how you move it along the workflow, like, are we considering it, technically not possible, make sure you have all that worked out before you put that out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to make sure that the users know that there's going to be interaction. It's just going to get lost in the ether, and then people are voting on it and nothing happens.
Yeah, and that's really what's kind of holding me back a little bit. I'll definitely... Yeah, I still want it, but I don't know.
It'll evolve, too, as you use it.
Yeah. But I think I have to... It's kind of a chicken and egg thing, because it's like, certain... It's not easy to get these remotes, because we have to get a physical remote and map it like you do with your Logitech Harmony remote, kind of, And it's not fun. And, I just don't want some place where people go and vote on these things, and then we don't do anything about it, right? So I'm just not 100% confident in our internal processes to get them done, so that's the only thing that would be holding me back. I'm working on some web-based training integration just for mainly the partner portal areas so that we can have, kind of a one-stop shop for our partners and better integration with our knowledge base. So I already have like little RSS feed widgets that tell the latest articles about the area that you're in our in the forum, but I'd like to get a little bit more deeper than that.
So do you have a separate partner portal that you may manage as well, separate from the OEM partner portal that you showed?
No, that's when I say partner portal, that's what I mean.
That's what you have.
Yeah. So.
How did they get support before? I mean, were they ever able to go in and open up a case in Salesforce?
Yeah, that was kind of the duct tape and chicken wire that I was talking about earlier. So basically, I had to create within our content management system, a separate site for each partner, and then have to manage, because it wasn't tied in with our Sling account, so I had to manage access. And then within that site, we would have little modals that would pop up into Salesforce for them to create like a web decay. They'd be like a web decay form, and or to be able to
have a separate login to Salesforce from that point to look at other, you know, the status of their cases. It was really, it was not a good experience.
Did you ever consider just doing it in Salesforce?
We did. Part of it is that we don't have the full, what is it, the customer, we have the enterprise edition, but not the customer, I forget.
It was called customer portal.
Yeah, the customer partner. Yeah, we don't have that, and we didn't want to pay for it. Okay, fine. Yeah. So and also it was, I just didn't like it. The same reason I don't have my knowledge base in there is just it's just so ugly, and so limited, as far as you know. Yeah, how things are laid out and how things work. So. And also, it would still wouldn't solve the Sling accounts integration, which is really what we wanted, was this one key for everybody. So, anyway. Oops. That's it. Any other questions?
Yeah. I've got one for Victor. It seems like there's a number of us that integrate with Salesforce in some way or another. And, you know, to some extent, the things that we're doing are very different, but there are some similarities. Some things that are common, you know, we all need to... connection pooling, we all need a data access layer. Any chance that the Jive might kind of make that common piece available just so that, you know, maybe we can all take advantage of best practices, because mine is just built from scratch. And, you know, I imagine that in services you end up reusing stuff, but.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we're new to Jive, we like that.
Yeah, as a result of this, and then another integration that another engineer worked on, we did create a Salesforce connection API with a set of classes where you basically have a DAO object for writing to Salesforce. You just, you know, call batchwriter.create, and you just pass it a Salesforce object, and it does the rest for you. Publicly available, or is it secret sauce you're asking? I don't see any reason why we couldn't share that.
I guess that would be more of a something for Erskine, right? Mr. Product Manager.
I mean, that's the thing, is because then when you come out with 5, you'll probably have to update that.
Yes, very much
so. He's going to have to update his, and I'm going to have to update mine, and so...
Yeah.
Right. You get what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yep.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Right on.
All right. Well, thanks.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.